Well, take your Bibles, if you would, this morning, and turn to Psalm 103. That's where we're going to be this week, some of next week. Yesterday, Robbie and I had gone to a ball game. Our older grandson is playing Little League, and so we were at Settlers Park in Meridian, and 5 million people there or less, I don't know, just a gob of people. But anyway, there was a bunch of kids out just playing ball, doing whatever. And so as we walked by, these kids were hitting the ball, and one of them hit the ball, and the other kid missed it. So it went right over to where we were and over by Robbie. So she bent down to pick it up and gave it to the kid. And he looked like he was probably, what, 10 or 12, something like that. And said, "Thank you," and off we went. I thought, well, that's amazing. You don't hear a lot of people say thank you anymore. And I won't pick on kids to say, especially kids and adults. It's just not that common. How many of you guys, I'll put it this way, how many of you guys have held a door open for a lady and she walks right in, no thank you, no nothing? I've had that happen so many times. And I'm reminded of a story I read years ago about a guy did that for a gal, and she said, "You don't have to open the door for me because I'm a lady." He said, "I'm not. I'm opening it because I'm a gentleman." But thank you is one of those words. In fact, please and thank you, those are some of the earliest words that parents try to teach their children to remember to say please and thank you. Those are the magic words, as it were, that have to do with politeness and gratitude. And so we try to get our kids to learn to say those things. And those things have to be taught early and consistently. It's not like you tell your kids when they're three, always remember to say please and thank you, and they remember that the rest of their lives. It doesn't happen that way. And there's no guarantee kids are going to remember to say that at any time. But it's always fun when someone comes up to you as a parent and says, "My, your children are so polite because they said that." You know, "Yep, that's me. I did that." That's just fun. Sadly, and this is just the facts of life where we are as a culture anymore, while please, for the most part, stays with us, most of us remember to say please, thank you is not always remembered as readily as please is. In fact, given our culture's current inclination toward entitlement, it seems like waiting for someone to say thank you can quite often, you're going to have a long wait on that. I remember a family we had in our church years ago that they had apparently decided that thank you was something that they just didn't need to bother with anymore. This particular family had entered into a very, very trying time. Just everything that could go wrong that you can imagine was happening to this family. And it was just hard. And they were hard pressed to deal with that, but the people in the church went through that time with them. People in the church were great. They prayed with those folks. They encouraged them. Spent major time with them. Gave them financial support. Provided vehicles for them. At one point, we even pulled the oven out of the church and loaned it to them when their stove went down. So the church really stepped up to the bat on that one. Well, eventually their problems got resolved. Everything worked out. God put everything back on a firm footing. Everything was the way that it was supposed to be, and they left the church. One of the ladies in the church, one of the older ladies in the church, visited with the wife shortly after they left and asked why they had left, especially after everything that the church had done for them. And this gal's response was very telling. "What? What did the church do for us?" Her family had forgotten how to say thank you. And that really hurt a lot of folks in the church, as you can imagine. Well, the reason I mention this is because, like that family, sometimes we, and by we I mean all of us, sometimes we can forget to say thank you. Not maybe quite so blatantly, and certainly not to people with whom we've built relationships over the years. I got a phone call here recently from a fellow we've known more than 35 years, he and his wife both. We had all gone into Village Missions the same week. And he called specifically for the purpose of thanking Robbie and me for the encouragement that we had been to them through the years that they were in Village Missions. And that was an encouragement to us as well. Here's my point in all this. Do we ever forget to say thank you to the one whose relationship with us is more important, more vital than any other relationship we have? And I'm speaking, of course, about God. Have you told the Lord thank you today beyond just for breakfast? And I hope all of you have done that at least. When we consider all that God does, how can we not tell him thank you? And yet there are any number of professing Christians who will go through this entire day, this entire week or more, without once thanking God for anything. I'm always amazed at the number of Christians who don't even thank God for the meal that they're getting ready to eat. They just start eating. And that just always blows my mind. How can we do that? Today and next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to be looking at what the Word says about thanking God and about being thankful people in general. But not just when God is doing something for us, when his hand is open, so to speak. We're also going to examine what it means to be thankful for when we're going through what seems to be a dry spell in terms of God's blessing. That is, how to say thank you when his hand is closed. Before we do any of that, though, let's go to the Lord for just a moment and thank him for our study time this morning and ask him to bless this time. Father, we do thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that you give us an opportunity each week to come together as a church family, Lord, to sing your praises, to study your word, to fellowship with one another. Lord, I pray this morning that as we do look to your word, Father, that you would speak to each one of us this morning. Lord, me especially. Lord, grant that this would not just be my opinions or thoughts up here, but Father, that this would be what you want us to hear and understand. And Father, we'll praise you for what you're going to accomplish through all this. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. As we look at Psalm 103, which is, as I said, is our text this morning, verses 1 through 7 actually act as kind of an outline or a summary statement of what the rest of the chapter is going to be. We read verses 1 through 7 already, talking about all the things God does, his benefits. He forgives, he heals, he redeems, all these different things. We get down to verses 8 through 22, and all of those things are actually spelled out in a little bit more detail. And we'll get into that as we go through this a little bit later on. But for right now, we want to look at thanking the Lord when his hand is open. And as I said, we will, Lord willing, continue this next week. We may continue it the week after that, too, depending on if Pastor and Pusha decide to come back. I'm not sure yet. Anyway, but we'll get as far as we can here anyway. So we're looking for this first part at thanking the Lord when his hand is open, when God is actually actively doing things in our lives. And we see this in the first couple verses. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Oh, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And so the first thing we're looking at here is that we are to thank God with praise, not just thanks and go on our merry way, but actually praise God. Thank him for what it is that he's doing. Okay, well, that's all well and good. What does praise mean? Someone give me a real short 25-word or less definition of praise. You know, that's kind of like, justification. You know, good brief description. How about glory? You know, we throw all of these theological words around, and we know what we think we mean, but if we had to write down a definition, we might be hard-pressed to do that. And so the same thing with this word praise. The word praise, as it's used in the Old Testament, actually is translated as praise from three Hebrew words that are used at varying times. The first word is yada. Not yada, 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 not that at all, okay? But it means praise, to give thanks, or to confess. In other words, to confess that something God has done is good. The second word that is often translated praise is zamar, which means to sing praise. So we have praise, just saying it. We have singing praise. And then a third word that's translated praise is halal, which is the root of our word hallelujah. And that means to praise also. Praise or to honor or commend. And all three of these words, I probably should keep up here with my things. All three of these words contain the idea of giving thanks and honor to one who is worthy of praise. One commentator put it this way: as the psalmist exhorts himself to praise the Lord with his soul and inmost being, he has nothing else in mind than a full commitment to the act of giving thanks. So, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise the Lord. And then we have this idea of thanksgiving in here, as the first definition we talked about had that idea of thanksgiving in there. In fact, praise and thanksgiving oftentimes go hand in hand in Scripture. You're hard-pressed to find praise in a verse where thanks isn't somewhere along with that same verse also. And so we read in Psalm 100, verse 4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks and praise his name." Praise and thanks, praise and thanks, thanks and praise. They just go together. Now, under the Old Covenant, the Old Testament system of doing things, God was praised and thanked as Yahweh, the covenant God, the one who had promised Israel, "I will do all these things for you. You honor me, I'll do all these things for you." And so he was thanked and praised for his acts concerning Israel. In fact, we read in 1 Chronicles 16:4 that King David says, "appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to make petition, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel." So this was actually something that David instituted among the Levites. This was part of their job. You are to give thanks, you are to praise. And he had the whole thing all divided up into different regiments, different groups of these Levites who would do this. They were on duty 24 hours around the clock. Someone was in the tabernacle, around the tabernacle, praising God, singing, giving thanks, and so on. Under the new covenant, we don't operate quite that same way. God is still the covenant God under the new covenant, the God of the new covenant through whom we have salvation. But under the new covenant, God is praised and thanked for all of his acts concerning the church. In the Old Testament, praised and thanked for his acts concerning Israel. New Testament, his acts concerning the church. And so we read in Ephesians 5:20 that we are to always be giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now in Psalm 96, and we're going to be looking at a bunch of different verses here. You don't necessarily have to look them up, but write them down. In fact, they're on your notes, I believe. In Psalm 96, God is worthy of praise. The psalmist says that God is worthy of praise for who he is. He is, in fact, God. And then in Revelation 5:12, he's praised for what he's done. So from Old Testament to New Testament, we have this idea of praising and thanking God for what he has done in the lives of his covenant people. So let me ask you a question. We've looked here, seeing that thanks and praise go hand in hand. So the obvious question is, how do you thank God for something he's done? How can you thank God for something he's done in your life without, at the same time, praising him for it? And again, is it just thanks, you know, we go on our merry way? Or is there some, there has to be some kind of praise in that. Though the two terms praise and thanksgiving are not strictly interchangeable, praise and thanksgiving are actually two sides of the coin, two sides of the same coin. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21, King Jehoshaphat, we read, had appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." They were to praise God by saying thank you. Praise God by giving thanks. You can't praise God for something legitimately. You cannot legitimately praise God for something without also thanking him at the same time. Psalm 35:18 says, "I will give you thanks in the great assembly. among throngs of people, I will praise you. This particular psalm is an example of synonymous parallelism. You might remember we talked about that in Proverbs several months ago, where the second line synonymous with the first line. And so the writer says, I will give you thanks in the great assembly among throngs of people. So praise equals thanks, throngs equals assembly. He's saying the exact same thing. Thanking God is, in fact, a form of praising God. And it's interesting, as you go through the Old Testament and the New Testament, the various citations for thanking and praising God are divided almost evenly between Old Testament and New Testament. This is something God's people are supposed to do and have been doing since 5,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago. And while praising God itself, praise just praise by itself, is cited more often in the Old Testament than the New Testament, that may simply be because the Old Testament is longer than the New Testament. So we're looking at all this today and seeing that by definition and by context, that thanksgiving is an integral part of praise. And so that being the case, as we look at our text here this morning, we're going to be understanding this as thanksgiving being part of the praise that is commanded in Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. In other words, praise and thank the Lord. And I'm not trying to read into the text here. This is just what the words mean. And they are used so often. You can't praise without thanking, and you can't thank God without praising Him. The two go together. So David starts off here. Praise the Lord, O my soul, or thank you, O my soul. And so we see here, we're going to get back to our text, our notes here. We are to thank Him with all that we are. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. I've got a couple of terms here, soul and inmost being. What's the difference? Not a whole lot. Okay, this is simply a Hebraic form of just saying everything that I am. Soul and inmost beings, that's not two separate facets of the person. In Hebrew usage, the worshiper, one commentary said, the worshiper is to praise the Lord with his whole being. And so we read this in earlier parts of Scripture, Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all your soul, all your strength, everything. And so this is just another way of saying everything that I am, I want to praise the Lord. And when I was looking at that, I was reminded of our number two son, not in terms of praise or anything, but just an example of how to get your entire being involved in something. When Elijah was just a little bitty guy, he's like 2 years old or something, it just cracked me up. His favorite dish, and even to this day, is applesauce. And so we would bring out some of Robbie's homemade applesauce, and he literally quivered from the top of his head to the bottom of his toes. He quivered with delight at seeing that applesauce. He doesn't do that quite so much anymore, but he still loves his mother's applesauce. But that's the idea of your entire being. He put everything he had into being excited about getting that little dish of applesauce. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. Love the Lord your God, or rather praise the Lord your God. Thank the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength. So soul and inmost being, that's the first part of this equation. How about the next one, heart? Again, we're looking at Deuteronomy here, Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. But in terms of our whole being, this is what's involved in it. Psalm 86:12, the psalmist writes, I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. Well, what is the heart in Scripture? The heart is the seat of the emotions. And this isn't just in Scripture either. I mean, this is in Greek and Roman culture and everything. And even today, we talk about the heart. In fact, I told our kids many times, once your heart gets involved, in other words, your emotions, once your heart gets involved, the mind frequently goes on vacation. Okay, so the heart is the seat of the emotions. Praise, as we're looking about praising God here, praise the Lord, thank the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. If we try to praise God or thank God without our heart, without our emotions involved, that's just going through the motions. It's sterile. It's cold. And it would be like Mr. Spock thanking God, whom he doesn't believe in anyway, but you get the idea there. You know, that, no, we want to have our heart involved in this. True praise and thanksgiving is emotional. By definition, it has to be. You know, maybe we're not all into dancing like David did before the Lord. But if you can consider everything that God has done in your life, from salvation right on through to the current time, if you can look at all that, think about all that, without feeling something, you might want to check for a pulse. Okay, because you've got that. It's got to be. God has made us emotional and mental creatures. Okay, everything is involved in there. We don't want to get carried away to one extreme or the other. But praising and thanking God has to include the emotions, as well as the intellect. And speaking of the intellect, that's the next thing here. The mind. Mark 12, 29, Jesus was talking, and this young fellow came up and said, "So tell me, teacher, what is the greatest commandment of all?" And, God, and Jesus told him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." And he was quoting from Deuteronomy 6, 5, but Deuteronomy 6, 5 does not have that word mind in there. And that's fine. Jesus wrote the thing. He can put whatever words he wants to in there. And so he included mind in that. Praise and thanks, any act of worship whatsoever, must of necessity include our minds. Have you seen videos of there was a thing here several years ago, holy barking. I think that was the thing, where you have a bunch of people and they're barking like dogs, and that's part of their worship. Okay, there's no intellect involved there, all right? I'm not sure what is involved there, but it's not intellect. So we need to include our minds. If our worship is only emotional, it's a knee-jerk reaction without any consideration whatsoever as to why we are praising the Lord. If it's only mental, it's nothing more than duty, going through the motions, without any appreciation for who God is and for what he's done. Praise and thanksgiving has to include both heart and mind. And since most of us are coming from, well, this is maybe not a fair thing to say, most of us are coming from a more or less very conservative Christianity, where we don't like to get too hot and bothered about anything. And so our worship tends to be very, yay, God. You know, and that's about it. Worship has to include both, okay? We have to understand with our minds what it is we're praising God for, what we're thanking him for. We have to have our heart involved in that so that we're actually expressing to him how much we appreciate what he's doing. And really, when it comes down to it, look at Psalm 103 again, verse 2. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." What do we use to remember? We use our minds. So the idea of worshiping God, praising God, thanking God with our minds is implicit in this verse. Forget not all God's benefits. The mind is fully engaged in not forgetting. Now, our hearts may remember a number of emotions. Okay, whatever those emotions are you want to put in there, those are the things that our hearts remember. Our minds remember things like faces, names, dates, the events of our lives, and so on, including, especially, the things that God has done, the benefits that God has done. Praise the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And it is the mind that we use to remember, to not forget those things. This idea of forgetting not, how many of you, I'm probably going to get hit for saying this. As you've noticed that you're not as young as you used to be, how many of you have discovered that remembering things does not come as easily as it used to? Was that a really nice way of putting all that? Okay, all right. Yeah, you know, not forgetting, trying to remember, that is something that is willful. We have to do that. That requires effort. It's something that we remind ourselves to do, that we have to make ourselves do. If you're trying to memorize Scripture especially, boy, that can be so hard. Okay, let's see, does that phrase go first or that? How did that go back? You know, so we forget things. We have to make ourselves remember. In tying this in with what we're looking at here in Psalm 103, praising and thanking God with all we are, with all we have, for everything He's done, that has to be a purposeful, willful, personal discipline that we need to develop as part of spiritual growth. We can't just go through life as believers and, oh, well, if I happen to remember something, that's great. And if I don't remember something, that's great too. You know, you may want to remember something that God has done, oh, you know, way back when, because that's going to impact something that He's doing way over here. And if we don't remember that, remember the gal in the account that I told you right at the start, they had forgotten everything the church did. And so, yeah, why shouldn't we leave the church? We're not hurting anybody. No biggie. So thanking God as a personal discipline, that has to be developed as part of our spiritual growth. Not only does that have to be part of our spiritual growth, not only are we thanking Him with all that we are, but we also want to be thanking God in obedience to Scripture. Thank God in obedience to Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 5, 19 and 20, Paul is giving some instructions to the church. And he says, "Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Always giving thanks. Always giving thanks. How frequently is always? You know, that's really frequently, okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says we're to pray without ceasing. Well, if we're praying without ceasing, talking to God throughout the day, that's all that means. If we're talking to God throughout the day, that provides plenty of opportunity for us to be always thanking God for the things that He has done for us, even for what He's doing right there. You know, that the car in front of us didn't just slam on his brakes when we thought it was going to. You know, thanking God for that. Maybe thanking God for the parking spot. You know, whatever, okay? Whatever it is that we're thanking God for, as we're talking to Him throughout the day, we have all kinds of opportunity to say thank you to Him. Not only that, but Paul says, sing and make music in your hearts, always giving thanks to God the Father for some of the things He doesn't know. Giving thanks for everything. Okay, same question. How much is everything? Art's back there doing this, okay? Is that more than just breakfast or lunch or dinner? You know? Thanking God for absolutely everything. That doesn't leave a whole lot out. All means all. Okay, that's everything. So, thanking God in obedience to Scripture. And then this one that I thought was kind of interesting. Not thanking God is linked to godlessness. How many of you knew that? Take a look at Romans chapter 1. We always look at Romans 1:18 and the verses following that, looking at how rotten the world is, and so God's wrath is being poured out on all these people. And so we read in verses 18 and 21, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. For although, verse 21, although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, admittedly, this passage is dealing with unsaved people. People who have told God to take a hike. They don't want to have anything to do with them whatsoever. But the fact that the writer of Romans, Paul, links thanklessness with godlessness, you know, that provides just a little bit of food for thought. He's not saying if you don't thank God for breakfast, you're a godless person, okay? But again, food for thought. Godlessness is equated with thanklessness. So, thank God in obedience to Scripture. Thank God with everything that we are. Praise and thanksgiving go hand in hand throughout Scripture and so on. Let's back up a little bit to Ephesians. Thank the Lord for everything, okay? Let's start by thanking God for all that He has done. Thanking God for all He does. In other words, with open hand. I mentioned that at the outset. Sometimes God's hand is open, sometimes His hand is not. And so let's start by looking at what God has done. Do you know that in the book of Psalms alone, the little short phrase, give thanks, that is found 25 times in the book of Psalms alone. 25 times, just in one book. Over 75 times throughout all of Scripture, that little phrase, give thanks. Well, what has God done? What hasn't God done? Let's see if we can boil this down a little bit. Let's look first at what God has done spiritually. And this is what we have looking at us in Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Forget not all His benefits. And then He lists them in the next three or four verses and then expands on those in verses 8 through 20. Forgives your sins, heals your diseases, redeems your life, crowns you with love and compassion, satisfies your desires, renews your youth, works righteousness, does justice for the oppressed. And He made known all of this to Moses and the people of Israel. Let's back up and do each one of these real quick. And if we were to go through all these things, that would be another whole series of messages in itself, so we're not going to do that. But just kind of hit the highlights here. Forgiveness. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you have, you have experienced His forgiveness. Your sins are gone. Those were washed away at the cross. And if we do sin, we have the opportunity to go to the Lord. 1 John 1:9 says, confess our sins, that sin is forgiven. Okay, your sins have been forgiven. Is that worth saying thank you for, that we've been forgiven? You bet. How about healing? Has God brought about healing in your life? And whether it's spiritual healing, which we're talking about here, spiritual matters, or physical healing. Again, going back to salvation, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been healed. Your spirit has been healed. You're no longer a walking corpse. You have been energized. You are alive, a new life, a brand new creation. How many of you enjoyed being a corpse? Okay. How many of you enjoy being a living, walking, talking example of God's grace? Is that worth saying thank you for? So thank you for healing. How about redemption? Redemption, the idea of buying from one owner and giving to another owner, a new owner. God has redeemed us out of Satan's camp, and He has put us now into His own camp. We have been redeemed. We've been redeemed from the things of the world. We have been redeemed from what's going to happen in the future. All of these things. Again, is that something worth saying thank you for? Have you thanked God for your redemption recently? Or healing? Or forgiveness? How about love? This is the one that we usually talk about, and Scripture is full of God's love. And we have this everywhere. Verse 4, the second part of verse 4, He crowns you with love and compassion. Go down to verse 8, the Lord is compassionate, gracious, abounding in love. Go down to verse 11, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. Go down to verses 17 and 18. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who love Him, His righteousness with their children's children, for those who keep His covenant, remember to obey His decree. God's word is replete with expressions of God's love. This is who God is. You can't separate God's forgiveness from His love. Love is foundational to God's forgiveness. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Okay? How about 1 John 4:10? Herein is love. Not that we loved God, we had no use for him, but that he loved us and sent his Son as propitiation for our sins, to take away our sins. For what it's worth, love is also the subject of most of the Psalms. You're hard-pressed to read any of the Psalms without reading something about God's love in there. So we have all these: forgiveness, healing, redemption, love. How about compassion? Has God shown you compassion in your life at one time or another? I know he has in mine. He has in all of our lives. Is that something that we think of to thank him for? How about goodness? Has God been good to you? You know, if I say God is good all the time, you say God is good. Okay, we talk about that. Do we thank him for that? For how good he has been to us? We sang this morning, "O Lord, you have been good." Do we thank him enough for that, though? How about renewal? Isaiah says, "Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles." Have you waited upon the Lord for something? And by waited upon, I don't mean when is he going to do this, but I mean actually waited for God to accomplish something that you know he's going to do, and you're doing that with excitement because you know it's going to happen. And that does renew your strength because you know it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Can you look forward to something God has promised, like the rapture, and not have your strength renewed by that? That could happen today. Have you thought about that? The rapture could happen before we're done here today. Well, after I get done anyway. It could happen at any time. And that is something that renews our strength. We get excited about those sort of things. Have you thanked God for renewal? How about justice? We may not see a lot of justice in our world at the moment in terms of how the world is dealing with justice. People do things that they get off with. People don't do stuff that they're convicted of. I mean, justice is kind of on its head. But how about God's justice? God's justice says that the soul that sins is the soul that dies. God's justice also says, I'm going to set that aside and welcome you as my child because that penalty was paid at the cross. Is that something worth thanking God for? How about revelation? Has God told you anything recently? I have had a matter on my heart that I've been praying about for the last couple, 3 weeks. And I tend to be rather dense, you know, waiting for the Lord to answer. And so the other day I was praying. I said, Lord, you know, I need an answer on this, but it really needs to be really clear. So maybe like either an angelic visitation or a vision or a postcard. Any of those would be really good. I didn't get any of those. What I did get, the very first verse I read in my Bible reading, was the answer to the question that I had. That was a revelation, you know. Not in the sense of something unknown, because it had always been there, but the Lord brought it to my attention at that particular time. And this idea of revelation, that also deals with just preaching and teaching. Have you sat under the teaching of someone like Pastor Lorien for a long time? And been encouraged by that teaching and by what you've heard? Have you read God's word and been encouraged by it? Have you thanked God for his word? So this is something we can thank God for. And then lastly, dominion. Verses 19 through 22, the Lord has established his throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. God is in charge. Do you know that? God is in charge. The world is going to accomplish exactly what God has set out to accomplish in it. Okay? God is going to accomplish in our lives what he has set out to accomplish. He's the one calling the shots. He's the one making the rules. And we've read the last chapter of the book. We know how it ends. We know whose side we're on. and we win. Have you thanked God for that recently? So we have all these things, spiritual matters that we can thank God for. How about materially? How about materially? Have you seen God do anything materially in your life? And by materially, I mean something that can be held or touched or seen. Something in the here and now. Have you seen God do anything like that? Oh no, God doesn't do anything for us. Yeah. How about the things that are obvious, okay? Let's see. Thank God for things that are obvious. What are some of the obvious things that we thank God for? How about meals? I've talked about that several times already. Do you thank God at mealtime? Or do you just sit down at the table and start eating? Can you take 10 seconds to thank God for the food that's on the table? And maybe thank him for the one that prepared it, if you're not the one that prepared it also. How about answered prayer? Has God ever answered a prayer in your life? Did you thank him for it? Are you still thanking him for it? How about some kind of unexpected provision? A check in the mail that I was not expecting. Give you an example of that. Robbie and I, several years ago, we bought our travel trailer when we were living up in Chalice. And I thought, oh man, okay, well, I just signed my life away on that for the next 10 years. About 2 months later, I got a letter from an attorney for the estate of a gal that we had had in our church in Oregon. She'd left us in her will. I thought, oh, that's nice. You know, if I'm going to remember someone in my will, it's okay, hi. You know, and that's how they get remembered. Anyway, paid off the trailer. Totally unexpected. You know, that's usually not the way things happen with us. But what unexpected provision has God done in your life? How about protection in an accident when maybe you should have been killed and you weren't? You know, have you thanked God for those very material things? How about thanking God for things that are hiding in plain sight? They're right in front of us, and we don't ever thank God for those. Have you thanked God recently for indoor plumbing? You know, have you thought where you'd be without that? Outside. How about for your house or your apartment or whatever it is you're living in? Do you thank God for that? How about microwave ovens? How did people ever survive without microwave ovens? Have you thanked God for that? And I'm not trying to make light of any of these things, but these are the things that are hiding in plain sight that we just don't even think about. How about electricity? You thank God for electricity? You thank God for your car? For your cell phone? Especially when it, you know, when it goes off at the wrong time? Yeah, no, I don't want to hear, okay. Okay, bad one on that, okay. How about shoes? Do you have shoes on this morning? Did you thank God for your shoes when you put them on? Your socks? The clothes that you have on? Do you thank God for your pension? Or your Social Security? How about your friends, your parents, your kids, the church family? You know, the list can go on and on. These things that are in plain sight and we don't even see them. Do you thank God for the goodies that we get back here every Sunday after church and for the ladies who put that together? Those are great. Do we thank God for those things? Anyway, so these things that are hidden in plain sight. What are some of the things in your life that are hidden in plain sight for which you can thank God? Let me give you a little exercise here, okay? When you go home today, grab a tablet, grab a notebook, piece of paper, whatever you've got, and write down on that the things for which you've not thought to thank God. Just three things. Write down three things. Just three. You can write more if you want, but at least three. And then take a minute or two to thank God for those things. And then do the same thing tomorrow and the next day. And the next day, and so on. And whether you thank God for three things or one or 20, that's not the point. The point is to begin today to develop a regular habit of telling God, thank you for those specific material blessings that He has entrusted to you. Just get in the habit of being a thankful person. Don't be that one who never says thank you. You know, don't be that one who mom and dad have to say, "Did you say thank you?" No. Do that on your own. Develop that personal discipline, as we talked about earlier, of telling the Lord thank you for those things that He has entrusted to you. And as you write those things down, I have a feeling you're going to be surprised at all the things that God has done, all the things God has provided that you've never even thought about before. Reminds me of the last verse of the Gospel of John, where John writes, "Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written." Likewise, I'm pretty sure that if we were to start writing down all the things for which we could be thankful to God, the whole world would not be able to contain all those notebooks and tablets and everything else that we're writing down on. And that's just for the kind of blessings that we've looked at today, the spiritual blessings, the obvious blessings, the blessings that are hiding in plain sight. Next week, Lord willing, as we come back to this, we're going to look at a couple of other kinds of blessings that perhaps we may never have even considered thanking God for. And these kinds of blessings are the ones that fit somewhere between what we've been talking about today, when God's hand is open, and what we do when God's hand seems to be closed and we want to be thanking Him. I would encourage you this week to go home and read Psalm 77. Read that through 3 or 4 times. It's not very long. Read it through and look at what that is saying about being thankful and about looking to God for these things.